Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along Show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 220. Tonight's show is brought to you by either Slow News Week or Backyard Rave.
I think Backyard Rave is better.
Okay.
We've done Slow News Week before, and that's like a common winter theme.
Kenny's having a rave.
Yeah, if you hear background noise,
his will.
My neighbor at 7 p.m. is having a rave in the, you probably hear that, in the 5 foot wide backyard that we have in our townhouses on Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. And it's raining.
I mean, it sounds like they could pretty easily just like throw a tarp over the entire backyard.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, do that shit in your fucking house?
Mm-mm. No. People don't do that.
Yeah, people's decision.
I mean, as long as they're quiet by like 9, 9:30, it's all right.
Yeah. This is a different set of neighbors. It's been fairly good. I've been here for a long time. It's usually not a problem outside of like some random night or something. But neighbor like directly across from me multiple times at like not like 11 or 12, but like 3 a.m. like wakes me up. I go like bolt upright and I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. And I have rolled down there in a bathrobe and just rolled up over my back fence and be like, hey, what the fuck are you doing?
You know, I did that once. It wasn't at night and it wasn't a party, but so diagonally from one corner of our property, there's an Airbnb property or VRBO or something. And most of the time people roll in there and they're just like really fucking noisy for like an hour or two and then it quiets down. But this dude, it was like the afternoon and he was flying a drone around. And it was obvious that he was looking at houses. Like, it hovered over my house and like the chicken yard for, I don't know, a minute. And then went to like a neighbor's house. And then I heard it like go, and I'm assuming went to like another neighbor's house or something. And I think I was in like some sweatpants and I don't know, a big hoodie or something. And I just put on like rubber boots, just went outside and slipped my like shit boots on and just walked over there. And I just kind of emerged out of the bushes in the yard where he was standing. I'm like, hey, he's like, yeah. He was like real surprised. I like really caught him off guard. I'm like, no one here wants that flying over their house. Like, can you just, I was like, please. I was like, don't fly that over my house again. I was like, it scares the shit out of my chickens. And I just walked off and he just stopped. He like, I didn't hear the drone again the time, like anymore after that. I mean, I looked like I was on purpose. Didn't try to make myself at all not look like
you didn't make any attempt to make yourself appear more hinged.
I looked extremely unhinged to someone who probably came from, you know, like Denver or a city or something, just like shit covered rubber boots and sweatpants. And I'm sure my hair was unkempt in some way, shape or form. So yeah, it was effective. It was very effective.
I once made that Airbnb, same property, different people, extinguish a fire.
Yeah. We have to do that sometimes. Like today it was 65 and it hasn't, I mean, since it snowed and we talked about it last, like we haven't had precipitation till since then. And it's pretty scary because it's hot and it's dry. If you were working outside today, you'd be in shorts and a tank top.
At 11 a.m., I was in pants and a t-shirt with many regrets.
So, Matt, what have you been up to?
Nothing cool. I've been doing
trail work for trials.
Yeah, so there's going to be a national event this year at Turkey Rock. And there's been a lot of work going into that already. It's not till July. And I've just been trying to put in some effort and make things better. And also, you know, we're in a really cool spot. There's only two of those places in the country where you can just go ride your trials bike and do whatever you want. And I've been doing trail work. I know how to build trail. And we have some trails that really needed some attention. And that's what I've been doing.
Are you guys going to get that Spanish fella to come out that rides for Honda?
Tony Bo?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
It's a U.S. national, so whoever wins, I would assume, would qualify to compete against him.
I honestly don't know if he does a lot of outdoor stuff or not. I don't even bother following him because he just breaks my brain every time I see him.
Yeah, he does. Like, he does some outdoor stuff. You want me to call him? I can get him out there.
Yeah, do it.
All right.
That'd be great. There's something I want to see him ride that's totally rideable for him, but not for me or anyone that I know. So, yeah.
Matt and his weeks kind of go together. So,
if you
want me to start talking, I can.
Yeah, that's what happened. Quick little tip for everyone. If you're going to order shocks for your vehicle, you need two fronts and two rears.
Oh, yeah. Those, you had some today. I put them in the shop.
More shocks came in?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I'm pretty sure I ordered the right ones for that vehicle. Still haven't sorted out the wrong ones for the other vehicle. So I accidentally ordered two four-wheel drive fronts and two two-wheel drive fronts for my Frontier. And it really frustrated me, so I did not bother trying to get the return set up on Monday or Tuesday. And I'll just deal with it Friday. I don't know. It's whatever. But yeah, I had the rear shock off, and I was going to do one side at a time so I could be in the sun, because it was pretty early in the morning. I mean, early, like 8:30, and kind of chilly, you know, in the 40s, maybe upper 40s. And I did the driver or passenger front, and I pulled the passenger rear wheel off, and I pulled the shock off, and I rolled out from under there, and I was like, dude, this is going so great. And I opened the other box, and I was like, oh, that's a front. And I opened the other another box, and I was like, oh, that's a front. And I opened another box, and I was like, oh, that's a front too. Hmm.
Yeah, so, you sound like all of our customers when they buy shit on Amazon.
The problem,
they're like,
is,
I needed a front derailleur, and it said a bunch of stuff, and I don't know, I just bought one, and here it is. I'm like, yeah, that's wrong.
No.
100%, that's wrong.
The problem is, in my haste, I mean, yes, it's 100% my fault, but at least I didn't order four of the same front. Like, I even checked my cart and was like, okay, I have two different part numbers, quantity two each. And I had all the tabs open, like a checkout cart tab. And then I just didn't really, I just missed a step, and it's whatever. And so I did that. And I was like, okay, well, I'll at least put the other front on while I have this rear wheel off. I'll clean up my brake drum and give it a fresh coat of paint, because she's looking all crusty.
I wondered why they look so shiny.
Yeah, dude, your boy hit it with them Krylon. That Krylon shine, baby. And the steering wheel in the Jeep is not aligned properly. Truck drives straight down the road. Steering wheel was sitting at about sideways. And I was like, cool, I know how to fix this. And I tried to fix it before, but the little coupler wouldn't turn. So I blasted it with a bunch of stuff and just tightened the bolts back up. And I'm like, I'll deal with that another day. I'm going to let that, like, soak in. And I'm under there, and I loosen up all the bolts, and I'm like listening to rap music in my headphones, and I hear A, and I'm like, oh, I don't remember that in this song, but it was like with the beat. And then I'm like trying to get the little coupler thing to turn so I can start figuring out which way I need to turn it and get everything all just dialed in. So, and I hear, hey, girl, and I look out from under the Jeep, and Andrea is standing there holding her hand, and she's like, we've got to go get stitches.
Yeah. Our patrons know about this already from Patron Slack. If you're a member, you're a patron and a member of the Slack channel, no, not all of you are, but
losers.
Yeah, I had been, I've been out beaver trapping, caught one, and I was skinning it. And, I had just gotten I have a replaceable blade knife. And I know a lot of people are like, yeah, replaceable blade knives, super dangerous, never use them because you're going to cut yourself replacing the blade. I've been using a replaceable blade knife since, like, I don't know, 2019?
Are you talking about just a box cutter?
Nope. You can get, there are a couple of different companies that make, like, just a folding, you know, single blade. Like, it's actually a knife blade. You can get a couple of different models. One really popular one is Outdoor Edge does one, which is the one I have the most experience with, and probably the most popular one. But there's also a company called Havilon, and they make one that's a little bit, it's like between the size of like a scalpel, like a surgery scalpel, and the like normal blade size that Outdoor Edge makes. And Havilon makes a thicker replacement blade for those. And they're awesome. Like, I love replaceable blade knives. Like, you can shit on them all you want. And I literally until this happened, had never cut myself with one while replacing the blade. Cut myself with knives plenty of times. It has absolutely fuck all to do with it being a replaceable blade. It's just my lack of attention occasionally when I'm using them. And this time I had a Havilon style knife. It looks exactly the same as the one that Havilon makes, but it was a different company. But I had bought the more durable, thicker Havilon blade, and I put it on this knife, and it stuck, like, halfway on. I'm like, ah, shit, it doesn't fit. And it's because the blade was thicker than what that knife was made for. It stuck halfway on. I grab a pair of pliers, and I grabbed the blade with the pliers, and I yanked on it, and the pliers slipped off of the blade, and my thumb went into the blade. And luckily, I guess you could say luckily, it cut the pad of my thumb maybe about, I don't know, a quarter of the way off. Not off, but like it cut about a, you know, if it had kept going, it would have just sliced like the pad of my thumb off. Didn't hit any tendons or ligaments or fingernail or anything super important, just the fatty pad part. And yeah, the thing was so fucking sharp, I didn't even feel it. But I knew that when the blade, like when the pliers slipped, I felt my thumb touch the blade and I knew that I had cut it. And that's really like, there was like no pain. It was just, I felt like an impact. Like, I knew that I touched it, and I'm like, that's going to be bad. And I immediately, like, I started cussing because I was like, I fucked up my entire day, and I'm going to have to deal with this for so long, and God damn it. Like, I was just really pissed off about just the massive pain in the ass that it was about to cause both me and Matt. And, yeah, sure enough, I looked down, and I immediately saw the amount of blood coming out and just, I could tell that it's like this has to have stitches. I've had a lot that are like borderline and I've never had to go get stitches for them. I just wrap them up and keep going. And I was like, yeah, this is real fucked. Like, I couldn't even really take my glove off because like just the pressure of kind of pulling the glove up just started to hurt. And yeah, it was going to bleed more and catch on the flap and all that kind of shit. And yeah, so I just walked out there. I'm like, yeah, we got to go. And that's what we did.
No. You're like, I cut your glove off.
Yeah, he just got some scissors.
Not with a very sharp blade pointed towards my thumb. I cut the glove off, and then we go inside to get like the preliminary bandaging on, and I taped the fuck out of that thing.
Yeah, well, like we put a big piece of gauze on it, and Matt went at it with like the medical tape, and for a second I almost was like, oh, man, that's like way too tight. And then I was like, no, that's exactly how tight that needs to be. So I didn't tell him to like not do that. And it actually worked really well. Like, I thought it was going to just keep on just gushing, but that actually made it stop enough that like it didn't even, it definitely like started to soak through that by the time we got to the hospital, but like it didn't, like I didn't bleed in the car or anything. So that was really good on his part. And yeah, there was a medical student there that took care of me. And I have to say, shout out to this guy. Sorry, I don't remember his name. He had a wonderful, like, just a...
Jamie.
Okay. He had a very dry and slightly dark sense of humor. It was funny because Matt was like, he kind of like started to freak out a little bit, like getting a little grossed out. And I'm like, do you need to go outside? Like, do you need to step out? And he's like, no, I don't. And I was like, are you sure? And they dude immediately, like the doctor, he was like, he's like, do you want me to tell him to leave? I'll use my authority to make him leave. I've kind of looked at Matt. I'm like, nah, it's all right. But I mean, that's really like, I appreciate that when a doctor senses that there might be, I mean, he doesn't know anything about our relationship. You know, so yeah, like if I had really actually wanted Matt to leave the room because I was afraid he was going to like pass out or something, yeah, I could have been like, yeah, tell him to leave. And he would have just made him leave the room, which is, I think, you know, if you're a doctor or medical professional of any sort, nurse, anything, and you sense that there's some tension there, like absolutely, you know, offer that as a thing. Or, you know, and honestly, if if he had been like, you know, I just want you to go ahead and leave, like, I don't care what she says, like, I would have been okay with that. I mean, it wasn't necessary, but, you know, if he was just going to take, like, the safer side and just make Matt leave the room while the bloody part was happening, then I would have been okay with it. But, yeah, stitched it up, and it's all bandaged up now. I've managed to, 3 of the stitches have, like, pulled through the skin.
3 of the 9.
There are 9 of them, but it's bandaged up tight enough, and it's, like, before that happened, like, it's closed up enough that it didn't really, like, it hasn't caused a problem, so I'm not going to, like, go and be like, can you inject my thumb with more lidocaine and put more stitches in? Like, I mean, if it was an issue, I would do that, but it's staying, like, really nice and closed up, so I'm just going to keep rolling with it, and I can take the stitches out or go get the stitches taken out in, what is it? It's been, like, 3 days now, not counting the day of.
We're on day 4.
Yeah, so stitches come out in 7 to 10 days. I'm guessing it's going to be probably give it at least 7 or 8 because of the stitches that are pulled through, and, you know, just to make sure it stays closed up. But yeah, it's put a damper on a lot of stuff. I've just been going out and, like, hiking, because any time that I try to do anything else, I end up just, like, even though I'm trying to be careful and it's got a bandage and stuff on it, like, I keep bumping it on shit and it just hurts. So I have decided I'm going to quit trying to do shit and just try to keep myself busy just walking around in the woods, which is what I do a lot of anyway. But then right before we're about to go to bed that night, so this is Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yep.
About 8:50.
Yeah, see, Matt's looking at... He's looking at Facebook, and there's a Howard, Colorado Facebook page, like a community page. And
Howard Happenings.
Howard Happenings.
God,
and
what's going on that bitch right now?
He said, holy shit, someone just hit an elk on the highway. And this is a picture from, I don't know how...
30 minutes. It was in the last 25... It was 8:33 when that was posted, and it was pre-9 o'clock. So
yeah,
it had just happened.
Yeah, there's like a picture, and this elk is like... It's laying on the road, but its head is up. Like, it hadn't even died in the picture.
Matt's like, I have a sense. Somebody hit an animal with a car. We should drive around.
I'm good. Well, no, and the other thing is in the picture, there was a street sign.
Yeah, so like, he's like, where is this? And I knew
and
exactly
like
where
I
it
knew,
was.
And it's one of those things, too. It said east of Howard. And I knew that I had seen that street sign, but it's one of those like little podunk 4-house streets. I'm counting the number of houses on our street while I say that. But it's one of those little bitty streets. It's not like a major road. Well, there's no major roads except the highway. You get my point, though. Like, I knew I'd seen it. I just didn't know where.
Yeah, and elk get hit there all the time. They cross the river. It's really dry in that area where they hang out, and then they cross the river to go drink. Or they cross the highway to go drink out of the river.
So everybody else on that Facebook page was like, oh, wow, you okay? Hey, is your car okay? And you guys are like, is that roadkill still fresh?
Exactly. That was exactly what it was. And he's like, should we go get it? And I'm like, I can't do anything with my hand. Like, I can put a glove on and hope for the best. But, like, it's too sore for me to, like, really do anything. So he's like, all right, we'll figure it out. Let's just go get him. Like, okay. And we're getting ready, and I'm like, well, I'm going to text the wildlife officer, who is the person who would be called if there was an animal. Like, a lot of times people hit deer, elk, whatever, and they just, you know, like, they get their car towed off, and they just leave the animal there and don't call anyone about it. But I'm assuming since it was still alive, they're like, it's actually illegal in Colorado. I don't know about other states, but in Colorado, you're not allowed to kill it yourself. Like, you have to call highway patrol or... you know, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and they send someone out there to dispatch it. And these people actually, someone stopped and tried to, like, cut the elk's throat or something. It was kind of, I don't know, gory. But anyway, so he called back after I texted and was basically like, I've got it in my truck. Do you want it? And
actually, yeah. Andrew was upstairs changing, and I grabbed the phone, and I answered, and I was like, yo, da-da-da. And he's like, yeah, dude, it's in my truck. You want it? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm right here at Cherry Creek. So, and he's been up here before. He's like, I'll see you in, well, and I was like, however long it takes to get to your house. I was like, 8 minutes. And I'm pretty sure that, like, I heard him coming, or I did hear him coming. I think he took that as a challenge. So,
yeah, he rolled in like a man who had been disturbed while watching a movie with his family during a holiday break.
Which is, he's like, got to try to get home, finish that Christmas movie with the wife.
Yeah, so, yeah, he dropped an elk off in our driveway. It was a smaller cow elk, and we worked till about midnight. I mean, I didn't
know. He called back at 8:59. We probably got started around 9:15, and we had everything hung at 11:30.
Oh, I thought it was midnight, but okay. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, we quartered. Matt had never quartered an elk before, and I couldn't do a lot. So I helped a little bit, and I, you know, told him what to do, and I did a little bit of the cutting, but he did most of it. And, yeah, we got it hung up and game bags, and luckily it got cold enough. You know, it was like upper 30s overnight, so it cooled off pretty well. And in the morning, we deboned it and kind of cleaned it up, because there was like some road rash and just some stuff that needed to be trimmed out and cleaned up. And we put it in coolers and where.
Well, we hung it overnight, and then the next morning got up and used Andrea's truck to winch it onto the trailer. And then she went to get ice while I went and dumped it in a gully.
Yeah.
And I was smart enough to know this was going to happen, but slightly unsure of this. But it turns out you can just hook a 30-foot strap to a tree and hook that to what you need to drag off your trailer, and then just lower the ramp on your trailer and drive out from under it.
That works.
And got everything done. Didn't vomit. It was very close. The next day, that thing was ripe. And I like walked around and I was like, okay, I can drive out. The road is right here. I can just swing back to the road. The road was not right there. So here I am in my Jeep with a 10-foot trailer, and I'm like weaving through some trees and like crossing little like ditches and stuff. I mean, they're little like curb height, but I'm like, and I'm like, there's a tire track. I'm just going to follow it. And yeah, then I went home and we deboned it. And then I went and rode my trials bike. And then I went to work a couple of days. And now it's Christmas break for me. So I went and built some trail road this morning. And then we packaged up the front shoulder and the one good back strap.
Yep. And we'll do more of it tomorrow. That's the nice thing. So, like, a lot of people who aren't familiar with, you guys are going to laugh at me. A lot of people who aren't familiar with meat handling, you don't realize, but like, if you take something off of an animal and cool it off very quickly, and then you just keep it cool and reasonably dry, it gets better with a little bit of age. So the fact that, you know, we got it cooled off very quickly and then we deboned it and we put it on ice, you know, typically, you know, I put ice in the cooler, put a garbage bag over the ice to keep the water on that level, and then put a piece of cardboard down and then put the meat on top of the cardboard. Then any of the juice that comes out of the meat, which happens as it dries out, that will soak into the cardboard and kind of pull it away from the meat and keep it, again, relatively dry. It's not like we're hanging it in a cooler for like dry aging, but it's similar effect. And yeah, I mean, it'll be fine. Like, we can do a quarter a day for the next 3 days and maybe more than that, but it's going to be wonderful. We actually had some for dinner tonight and it was excellent.
Yep.
So that's what's been going on with us. Kenny, any roadkill or anything interesting in your life?
No, no roadkill, but hope everybody's sitting down. I did ride my bike.
Shit.
It's pretty crazy. So decided to take just a day trip to St. George. Weather was not amazing here. Definitely a little bit better in St. George. And decided to ride a trail I have not ridden before. It is called, I think I'm saying it right, Little Creek. I think that's it. So for listeners who do not know, there's an amazing amount of cool mountain biking in the St. George area, you know, Virgin, Hurricane, Leverkin, all the places out there. This one is closest probably to Gooseberry Mesa. And if you're like on Gooseberry Mesa and you look south, it's the next giant mesa. And it's called Little Creek. And it's far enough out that it's not very popular. And you got to go down quite a ways down a gravel road, probably 10 miles, something like that. And it does get a little bit chunky, chunkier than the Lexus will do. I was in the Lexus. And yeah, so I drove halfway down the road and decided that I should keep all the parts on the bottom of my car. On the bottom of my car.
On the bottom of your car?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the sauce in the car?
Yeah, yeah, because the Lexus is very low, unfortunately. So, but it's also been more places than most people's F-150s, so that is nice. Anyway, cool place, like just neat area. Tons of cool camping spots. Nobody was out there. The trail itself, it's like one big loop and a little bit smaller loop. I think that's about it. There might be some other like connectory type stuff. So they could definitely build a ton more out there. It's got very much Gooseberry Mesa vibes. So a lot of like slate rock type stuff with really cool moves and lines and alternate lines. And it's like you're riding on the moon. It's totally crazy. Tons of traction. But it also has a lot of just kind of wooded areas and more. I would say 50% of it is very normal single tracky. And you can actually get going pretty fast, which is kind of cool. Because Gooseberry Mesa, there's almost no fast sections. It's all like pretty tight and like just techy the whole time. Bunch of little dyno moves everywhere. So I'd say 50% of Little Creek is like that. But the other 50% is, yeah, single track. But just overall really cool. Very difficult to follow. Definitely go there with the trail loaded up on your Garmin/Wahoo. If you do not, you are probably screwed. There is zero markings. There's a couple of signs when you get to some intersections, but the actual trail itself, especially when you get into these giant slabby sections, there's a couple of rock cairns and that's it. No paint, no nothing. And the trail takes some really strange turns.
You're saying that there's actually rock cairns that serve a purpose for navigation.
I mean, they sort of did. You could just look around and maybe find one and then like ride to it, but you're going to get lost a lot. Even with the Garmin up, you're going to get lost. And I had it loaded up in mine. Well, I say loaded up. It's just a Wahoo. It's just on there. But yeah, it was actually a ton of fun. Had a really good time. It's just fun riding new stuff. It's something I really enjoy doing. What else about it? My bike was really good. So for those that don't know, I have a Kinevo SL first gen. It's been a really good bike. It's definitely an enduro bike. It's pretty light. For being an e-bike, I think it's 40 pounds even, maybe like 41, something like that. So, you know, 10 pounds lighter than your average e-bike, which is pretty cool. It's 170, 180. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, shoot, I could go even longer and slacker, I think. I've been riding the moto a lot, so I'm just getting used to that kind of stuff, especially riding a bigger moto. And it's like fine. It's a really good bike. It's still got some EXT suspension on it. Did pretty good. Still need to get the fork worked on and kind of set up to my liking. But yeah, it's just a good bike. I haven't really had to do anything to it. I just ride it. I got all the ergonomic stuff set up the way I wanted pretty much day one. And I just kind of ride the thing. It's a really good bike. I really like it. I like the SL platforms in general on e-bikes, even though I'm used to the handling of like a moto and just kind of wrestling that around the tighter stuff, and it's fine. But the one thing I really still don't like on full power e-bikes is the weight. I don't really want to have a 55 pound e-bike. I just end up smashing the back wheel into stuff, and it's not a moto is the problem. So you kind of can't do that. It just, they still get upset about it. So I don't know, maybe I'll change my mind about that. And eventually I'm sure I'll buy a full power e-bike one of these days, but for now, I'm really, really happy with the SL platforms. They're not that popular because I get it. If you ride with a big group of people who are all on e-bikes and a few people have full power e-bikes, it's hard to be the person not on a full power e-bike. Like that's not a good time.
What's the battery life like on that? Like
it's not great. I mean, it's a small battery. So talking numbers, because hopefully this has become mainstream enough that people know what this stuff is and what it means, but it's a 320 watt hour battery. Most full-sized e-bikes have a battery double that size or even bigger.
I think isn't mine like 500 or something?
500 would be on the small side.
Yeah, mine's also like, I don't know, it's not old, but like it's not a brand new e-bike?
Yeah, so 500 was kind of the standard for a full power e-bike for many years. Kind of the first and second gen mainstream e-bikes were all probably in that 500 ballpark. Then a lot of them went to 600 and 700. Now you're at like 800 and 900. So they've definitely gotten a lot bigger. So 320 is what it is. I do run a range extender, which is an extra 160. So it's 50% more capacity. And on this ride, it was definitely like 500 to 1,000 foot climb just on the road for another like 5 miles to get to the trail. So that eats a lot of battery. Just straight line going like 15 miles an hour at like a brisk pace uphill. That's how you're going to eat the battery. But riding like techie trail stuff really doesn't eat the battery very much. But all that said, it ended up being maybe like a 30 mile day somewhere in that ballpark with 2,000 feet of climbing, something like that, maybe a little bit more. And I did use a lot of battery. I don't ride as much, so I'm not putting in as much power. I think I ended up with, 40% battery left or something like that. I started with 150 because that's how it calculates it. So 100 is the base, 50 with the range extender. So I started with 150, ended with 40. But yeah, it was fun. Super cool. Enjoyable ride, cool area. So again, don't come to Utah. You need to stay in your state. But if you do come to Utah, you should check out Little Creek. It's kind of cool and different, and it's out.
Nope. Hear me out, Kenny. If you do come to Utah, you can't bring your own bike. You have to go to Hangar 15 and buy a new one, and then you can go ride Little Creek.
That's good. That's good. Oh, and I guess speaking of work, if anybody is interested in a bike shop job or knows somebody who might be interested in a bike shop job, we are always looking for people. I've meant for the past many, many, many months and shows to mention that. Yeah, we could definitely use some more staff, and we're always growing and doing things. So yeah, I've been there for, 8 to 10 years now, somewhere in that ballpark. Let's do some math. Yeah, 9 years. So yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to do math. And
Yeah. Started in maybe 2017, somewhere in that ballpark. But yeah, so if you or anybody you know looking for a job, look up Hangar 15 and call around, and people will find me. It's pretty easy. Or you can just hop on the website and apply.
Let me talk to that guy that talks to me through my ears.
Yeah.
They'll be like, you can't work here.
But yeah, anyway, that's the news. I rode my bike. It's pretty crazy. And bikes are still neat. Motors are still pretty darn cool as well. Maybe there might be some moto in the future. And yeah, some of the old friend group that rode motos a whole bunch, they're all in trouble with their wives and families and stuff. So they usually can't
their
ride motos anymore.
Birthday.
Yeah. A lot of neighbors, cats' birthdays and stuff like that. So they're usually all tied up, but, I think one of them got a new moto. So there'll probably be quite a bit more moto in the future, but I'll do a few more wintertime.
Wait, I thought you were talking about what we're planning.
Well, there's that too. There's multiple things. I didn't want to let that cat out of the bag, no pun intended, because we could get rained out. We don't know.
But assuming the weather's good, Kenny and I, this is important because this is probably the last show of the year, because next week, if weather is good, Kenny and I are going to Brokeback Mountain style camp in Moab. Wait, no, not Brokeback Mountain style. Sorry. And we're going to ride dirt bikes.
Yeah, I'm not bringing a tent. I'm sleeping in your tent.
I'm bringing a swag, so you better be ready to little spoon.
I don't know what a swag is. What is that?
We've talked about it before on here.
It's like a luxury bivy.
It's a luxury bivy is the best. That's right. So it's about 30 pounds, and it takes up about the same amount of space.
It's going to be colder in Moab than it is here.
Fuck. I don't want to bum you out. I'm going to look at it right now while we're talking about it. But I've been eyeing the weather.
It looks like Thursday overnight into Friday, a.m. rain and snow showers.
Anyways, going back to a swag. It weighs about 30 pounds. It takes up about the same space as roughly 4 or 5 camp chairs. Like the kind that pack up to be, about this big around. I'm holding out my hands. But when you open it up, you put a hoop in each end and a spreader bar. And it's 100% wax canvas, so it's really warm. And then both sides have a zip-up side with a bug net inside. So you can, if it was warm outside, you can roll those up. Or you can put little stakes in there, like
poles
in there for an awning, and it has a 3-inch memory foam mattress in it at all times. And the stuff sack that it goes in is big enough that it's designed that you roll it up with all of your bedding inside, and then you put it in its water resistant bag, and you go drive your 4-wheel drive ute through the Australian outback. And when you need to sleep, you just roll it out. But for me, I've always been really annoyed by tents, because most of the camping that I've done over the last few years has been like at a moto event or something. And they're really, tents don't do a great job of blocking out like your neighbor's light or your, you know, any sound or anything like that. So,
well, they're also taller too. So like if it's windy, they flop back and forth some.
Yeah. And I've always wanted one, and one day I just like plopped down the $300 and I was like, cool. But then I didn't go on any moto trips after I got it because testicle stuff. So, but no, I'm pretty jazzed about sleeping in it. Andrea and I did set it up in the living room because it was my new toy and I was all beat up and she was being nice to me. So got that all set up in the living room and got inside of it, and it is pitch black inside, which I'm really excited about.
Sweet. Well, yeah, hopefully our trip doesn't get rained out. That'd be a bummer.
Well, here's the thing, Kenny.
There's probably somewhere else we could go.
I was just looking at the weather. I was about to check the weather for Grand Junction.
I don't know anything about Grand Junction.
Grand Junction and Fruta, they have a lot of cool stuff. It's kind of the same.
But worse.
Moab. It really is. Like, we're forecasted to get, there's like a 30% chance of rain like Sunday or something for us. But then it goes back to being like 50 and dry. And yeah, like Moab and Grand Junction both have later in the week rain forecasted.
Yeah, we got options. Maybe like Green River, like as an absolute worst case scenario. It looks slightly better on the forecast, so we'll figure something out.
Yeah, it's also like, I don't know, high desert weather. It can change like hour to hour.
Yeah, well, we'll do something even if it's not that weekend. You know, like something is going to happen this year. Also, I still really want to go ride 5 miles of hell.
Yeah, you know, I'm probably not good enough to do that. I'd probably bring the Ultra if I was going to do that.
That's fine, because I think one of my friends that I would want to bring on that trip, she would ride, I think that we would do it on trials bikes.
Okay. I mean, you would definitely do really good then. This is not working out any better for me.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you bring your Ultra and it's small enough that like between the three of you, you could like carry it.
No, I mean, worst case, I'm not that worried about it. Like, I've seen videos of it, and there's definitely some crux sections, but I mean, worst case scenario is you kind of bobble halfway up the crux section and then you drag it up the rest of the way. Yeah, not super worried about it. But if I was, you know, I would be a little bit more worried if I was on like the Husky.
Well, yeah, because your Husky is a beast, you know, like I think I could ride it on the KTM. I just don't know that that's the kind of day that I want to have.
Yeah, it would be pretty brutal. Sense. Like, for sure, if I did it on the Husky, I could probably, again, with some help, could probably get through it. But I'm going to end up tearing up the motorcycle. Like, you know, I'm going to be gouging fork legs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's a dirt bike and I've crashed it a few times and I've definitely used the heck out of it. It's got a lot of hours on it, but I don't want to intentionally nunchuck my bike down giant rock slabs if I don't have to.
Yeah. But
be a man.
The thing with the thing, if we did ride trials bikes, Kenny, is they're so slow, if that makes any sense. Like when I'm on my big bike, there's a different, it's kind of like the difference between if you rode your road bike to the corner store or if you rode like a cruiser to the corner store. Like, you just have a different expectation when you throw your leg over it.
Sure, I get it. Know? And I'm sure just general chunder that I could like crush at 40 miles an hour on the Husky.
I would not go that fast.
Yeah, you guys have twitchy handling and 6 inches of suspension travel, right?
It might be more than that, but
close enough. Do we want to get into new shit? Weather speculation and motorcycle speculation?
Yeah, so I got to really just quick one. Giro has a new aero helmet that actually looks good. Like, it has ventilation. So
that does look pretty nice.
Yeah. That's kind of like a one-hit wonder there. Then Chris King has a new color that they released. matte gold with some 50th anniversary logos on them. And, you know, after riding those Chris Kings and the 3-0 motos, I'm moving away from Industry 9 personally. Like, I'm just not.
After riding the Chris Kings and the 3-0 motos, I only want to ride Industry 9s.
I don't. I'm going to low engage. I'm becoming a low engagement boy. I think that in the next few months,
DT350 has entered the chat.
So the bird wheels are gone, and the wheels that are replacing those are 350s. So,
all right. I've been very happy with mine. It's funny, I've talked about DT350s ad nauseum on the show because I worked on so many.
I bet over the last 12, 13-ish years, how long we've been doing this, Kenny's probably talked a full 5 or 6 hours about 350s.
I probably have.
I
truly think that they're that good. I will also say I'm not a DT fanboy because all their other shit is utter garbage. EXP, garbage. DEG, garbage. Almost all their shit is garbage except their original stuff. So get a traditional Star Ratchet two-piece one.
Mine might not be good then.
I say that they're garbage. In my experience, they're more garbage than just as plain old Plain Jane DT350. So what did you get?
I got Traverse 2s.
So they got some DEGs on them?
I don't think
it's very few of the Specialized wheels have the DEGs yet. Only a few do.
Well, these are old ones. These are ones I got on closeout.
Well, yeah, I mean, they must be DT350s. They've been making DT350s forever.
Oh, God, unless I accidentally got the 240. They might be 240s.
Well, as long as they're not EXPs, you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a standard old school Star
Ratchet. And I owned a set of EXPs. I disliked them more for the other aspects, the fact that they're very expensive and they had ceramic bearings. Those were more problematic to me than the actual EXP Star Ratchet system, but I have warrantied so many of the EXP Star Ratchets that I am scared of them, that's all.
That's what these are. They're EXPs.
Well, I'm sure you'll be fine. I think they have gotten better and they got rid of most of the bad ones out of circulation, which is nice. But what I was saying before, of all the praises I've lauded on DT350s, I just now have a set. I say just now. I've had them for 3 years, but it's the first set of wheels that I've owned that have had that hub. I had the EXP 180s before that, and then I had numerous Industry 9s, torches, I believe. I think I had two sets of torches. And it's a blur of other hubs that I've had before that. But anyway, just letting people know that it's more based on the stuff that I see than the stuff that I've owned, even though that sounds a little crazy.
All right. Well, speaking of wheels, Tubolito is making a 32-inch, not 32-ounce, mountain bike tube coming in spring of 2026. So that's a thing.
Sure.
I guess that makes sense, but I mean, honestly, it's just like any other mountain bike. Like, okay, yeah, it takes up a lot less space. And I think that's going to be a big pain in the ass with a 32-inch wheel is your spare tube that you carry around with you.
Bitch, I'm going to carry a 29er tube, force it in there.
Yeah, you could always just stretch a 29er tube in there. I've put a 27.5 tube in a 29er before, and it was totally fine. I did that the time that I rode.
Shit, I put a 20-inch tube in a 24-inch wheel the other day.
What was that race that I, like the pro race down in Arizona?
Whiskey.
Yeah, the Whiskey 50. The pro classes have to do the mountain bike crit the night before the real race. And I wanted it to just be super, super light. You have to ride the same bike. You don't have to ride the same tires. So I literally had like whatever the lightest file tread Max's tire I could get was. And I put like ultralight 27.5 tubes in it. It was fucking hauled ass. It was so good. I mean, would I go and mountain bike on that? No, I wouldn't even take those tires out mountain biking set up tubeless. But I mean, they totally worked for, you know, a road crit in downtown Prescott. You know, if I thought one was going to like break because of its you know, size and being kind of stretched out. If I thought it was going to like blow out and make my face hit the ground, then I wouldn't have done it, but it worked fine.
So back to bivvies. I'm just like looking at some bivvies.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Swag One, the Kodiak.
Hold on. He's got to look it up.
23-0 is the brand. And I think I got the Dual Swag 900. Yep.
Wait, so theirs is also called the Swag?
Swag is not a brand name. It is an item name.
Oh, that's like a type of bivy tent?
It's not a bivy. It's a bivy on steroids.
And that's what swag means?
Swag is this style of tent.
Yeah, so it's like a one-person tube.
So one-person lean-to bivy tent.
Well,
it's not a lean-to. It's a tube.
I think if
But it's shorter at one end than the other.
No, it's not.
Not this one.
Well, the Kodiak one I'm looking at is.
Yeah, that's part of the reason that I wanted to go with this one is it's ambidextrous, it's simple, and I think if we go back through time, like...
Oh, I can, like, open up that whole side, like, at once and see what you're doing in there.
Yeah, you could. It's really cool. I should just sleep in it in the yard tonight.
Go for it. It's going to be nice tonight, so you might as well.
This Kodiak one looks pretty dope to me.
Kenny thinking about getting one of these now?
Oh, I don't know. I camp once a year.
I mean, Kenny, it sounds like it would be way nicer than how you sleep, like, curled up in a ball in the back of your truck.
I do. I sleep in a fetus ball in the back of my Ridgeline, but it's warm and quiet.
Yeah, you could do this. I think you could do this, and it would be...
Because it has a real mattress inside.
You know what's crazy is how difficult it is to sleep in a fetal position. What's weird is, like, that's kind of how I sleep in a normal bed. But I think it's because you have no option to stretch out even for like a few seconds and then go back to fetus position. I will get like all freaking cramped up. It's freaking wild.
Yeah, Kenny, you need this swag.
You can solve that for $300.
No, but then I got to sleep outside.
Kind of.
I mean, it's a very substantial outside thing.
I guess I could put it like in the bed.
You could. Boy.
It would hang. Kenny, it would hang off a little bit. I've only got...
I think that you're more of an outdoor sleeping princess than I am.
I don't like sleeping outside. We've spent a long time making inside really good.
I mean, I really like sleeping in my truck. And I mean, I've absolutely lived for days in the wilderness in a tent on several occasions, and I can do it. And I have really good stuff to do it. But if I have the option of like rolling out, you know, an XPED mega mat on a wooden platform.
Memory foam.
I know. Mine has memory foam and air.
Well.
So, yeah. So if I can do that, I always do. But, I mean, if the situation calls for, you know, sleeping outside several nights in the wilderness, I can do that too.
All right. Well, sorry for that derailment. I was just looking at bivvies. I saw like a regular bivy, which is just like a raised
body condom.
It's just
a raised sleeping bag, a
wrapper for a bear snack.
Yeah, it's just a bear burrito tortilla.
I have a hilarious bivy story. Sleeping in a bivy once, I was lying on my back, and I had it pulled up, and I guess it got like the nylon-y part or whatever was over my face a little bit, and I started snoring. And I was having this terrible dream that a weasel was attacking me. And I woke up and it was just like a bivy on my face. And I was like, oh.
And I have a bivy story too. I was sleeping in a bivy.
Didn't a mouse run over you?
Huh?
Didn't a mouse run over you?
Yeah, I was trying to fast pack the collegiate loop and the weather did not cooperate that time. And but the one night that I was out, I made the mistake.
Oh, that's when I picked you up at Cottonwood and you were like frozen.
Yeah, I got
it. It was like snowing up there.
Yeah, it was fucking wild. But anyway, I made the mistake of picking a campsite that was like a, I don't want to say like established, like, you know, it didn't have like a fire ring and shit. It wasn't in a campground, but it was a spot where a lot of people who were hiking that trail, like through hikers and stuff, where they camp. So there's a little bit of a higher density of rodents and whatnot because people leave food and whatnot behind. And I was in the bivy in my sleeping bag, and I had it like pulled up over my head, and something was running across the bivy, and I punched it, and then like several seconds later I heard something hit the ground. So I just yeeted a mouse just into the fucking stratosphere off of the top of the bivy. And I mean, it was like seconds. Like, I hit it and I was sitting there listening for like more claws scratching on the bivy, and all I heard was like a little thump in the bushes. It probably got off up and ran off, but yeah, that's my bivy story.
Yeah, I've got a story about sleeping in my bed. Nothing happened and I had normal dreams.
Oh boy.
All right. We're going to talk about this VR1 selling their rims through Industry 9 now, even though Industry 9 kind of owns VR1.
I mean, they do own VR1. And yeah, so now if you go to Industry 9's website, you can buy VR1 Convergence rims.
Oh, wheel or rim only?
Yeah, you can just buy the rim only. The Convergence rim is supposed to be special. The design is special. It's got kind of a wavy layup around the spoke bed, and it's supposed to help equalize spoke tension between the drive side and non-drive side.
Okay.
But it comes in, it looks like, 7 different models, and none of the names of the models actually give you any fucking idea about what the model is made for, except for maybe the Fuse is their electric mountain bike rim, so I guess that makes a slight amount of sense, and the Wisp is the cross-country rim, and all of the other ones don't.
No, Wanderer.
Wanderer for bikepacking, but the other ones don't really make sense.
The Triad is definitely for triathlons.
Enduro triathlons.
Oh, that would be sick.
That would be pretty sick.
We need to make a Salida triathlon where it's kayaking. It's like 3P, but dry. So
yeah.
You kayak first, and then you have to do like a 35-mile mountain bike loop on S Mountain, and then do a trail run.
Yeah, you could do that.
But the big plot twist is bikes have to yield to the race runners, because even if they're running, they're like beating you because they're already on the run.
Sure.
We'll get 2 or 3 signups. We definitely won't lose money.
Yeah, that's all the... Oh, no, we've got a couple of recalls to
cover. Talked about that. The
Pedego?
The Pedego recall.
The fat tire trike?
Yeah. Oh, we talked about the trike frames, didn't we?
I think we mentioned it, that they're snapping in half.
Okay. And then Pacific Cycle has recalled some Schwinn Ovation bike child carriers for faulty restraints. They have no injuries have been reported, but Pacific Cycles is aware of one incident where the buckles came loose. So you can contact Pacific Cycle for a refund. Doesn't say you get a new one. You just get a refund for your old broken one that you're going to zip tie your kid into so the buckles don't come loose.
Man, fuck them kids.
They were sold on Amazon and SchwinnBikes.com from May 2025 through September 2025. And, you know, this kind of goes along. We've talked about, like, there was a helmet recall on some, like, Amazon helmets. If you have a thing, whatever it may be, that is safety equipment or something that you need to hold, something that you value, like a child, maybe you don't get the really cheap Amazon one. You know, I'm just throwing that out there, like, spend a few extra bucks and get one that won't have buckles that come loose. Wasn't that, what was the issue? I don't remember what the issue with the helmet was. It doesn't matter, but like, yeah, like, it doesn't make sense to me. I get trying to save money, and
there was one.
Everything's just fucking expensive right now, but like, spend the money where you need to spend the money.
Yeah.
But that's all the new shit. And we didn't have any listener questions. So unless you guys got something else.
I don't. The couch is calling my name.
All right, are we ready to read patrons? Kenny, have you picked out your swag yet?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
All right.
I'll keep doing my setup until it really pisses me off.
So that's a no.
You need like another couple of years of wear and tear in your body, and then you'd be like, all right, I'm tired of sleeping like a fetus.
No, eventually. The end game would be I'd get a sprinter type van, and that solves a lot of problems. I mean, this is the age old thing. We don't need to go into this now, but clearly having a truck or a truck adjacent thing is very cool because they can do truck things and go places that perhaps other vehicles cannot. Whereas most vans are probably not as off-road capable, but very rarely. I'm not like trying to wheel to the tippy top of something to get a cool lookout so I can like take a picture and put it on Instagram. I don't give a fuck about that. So, I mean, most of the stuff I do, it's like maybe Jeep road level stuff. I don't even know what you'd call that, but like something you don't want to drive a sedan down. But other than that, it's like, it's a gravel road. It's not a big deal. And then I'll go do my rowdy shit on like a moto. But I don't need to like, I'm not, at least right now, I'm not like wheeling through, you know, 4 foot deep water crossings and clambering over boulders and that kind of shit. So I think a van is probably the end game.
I love the 4Runner because like, I mean, it outclasses me driving.
But the 4Runner can do truck things. For sure.
Yeah, it can. But it's nice to have an SUV because then you are actually, like, when you go to sleep in it, you're inside when you sleep.
And I get that. Like, 4Runners are awesome. Totally get it. They're reliable. They can, like, properly wheel. You can set up a sleep setup in them that's, like, baller. The problem for me is right now, moto is, like, kind of paramount. Yeah. So I don't...
Yeah. And having, like, if you're sleeping and living out of the back of a 4Runner, having a rack of any sort on the back is a giant pain in the ass.
Yeah, exactly. And is it doable?
Because the tailgate opens up. So, like, it's not like, I don't know, like a Matt's Jeep, the tailgate opens to the side and, you know, you can, like, it doesn't like run into the shit on your rack and
sure.
I don't know,
how would it not run into the shit on your rack? It has to swing to the side.
Oh yeah. For some reason in my head, that seems like it would be better.
It's not.
Having a rack on the back of anything that you're trying to live out of is a pain in the ass.
So also I really don't want a 400 pound contraption hanging off the back of my vehicle. And also any kind of inclement weather, your moto / bicycle or whatever gets absolutely destroyed and or stolen and blah, 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 all this stuff. So for me right now, I think end game is probably van, but I mean, I'm very happy with the Ridgeline. It totes all my stuff around just fine. And for the, you know, probably 4 days out of the year that I sleep in it, it's fine.
All right. Well, I'm going to read patrons and we'll shut it down. Sound good?
Shut it down.
All right. So at $10 a month, we've got Kurt, Timothy, Taylor, Zwift, Skunk in Your Trap, Jim the Fucked Up Trike Guy, Burt Reynolds' Crusty Stash, Zozo, Eric, Burt Reynolds' Mustache, Paperboard Pro, My Pal Dal, MTB Shenanigans, Free Gabe Horn, Cam Irish One, Zach, Tennessee Zach, Green Giant, AJ, Leland, My Name is Clayton, Ride Time Extended, JC, Gordon, Josh, Fart Noises, Tom's P, Ryan, Bill, Aaron, Hung Dong Industries, now with 30% more risk of fire, Ty, _, Noah, Cool Beans, Matt's Church Bell, Oliver, Close Off, Frank the Tank, Goat Roper, Tom P, Butt Stuff, Them Kitty Cat Jelly Beans, at $11.11 per month, Epstein Island Bike Trails and Pizza Buffet, Patamillan Disco Ball at 14 Australian, Dean at 1650 Australian, and at $20 a month, we've got Brian, Scott, Joe, I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds, Poop Wrench at $26.06 per month, a Juggalo, a Furry, and a Road Biker walk into a bar, Harley at 30, Troy at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors, We're Touched by the Tism, powered by Tylenol, at Fitty.
Say the line, Kenny.
Shut it down.
All right, everyone. Have a safe and happy holiday season, and we will talk to you again next year.
Okay, bye.
Good night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along Show.
There's some shit coming out of your pads.